It's good to be thankful, isn't it? Psalm 100 says we enter God's presence with thanksgiving as we give thanks to Him. And it's good to share together what we're thankful for, to tell some of the stories of what God has been doing amongst us. Carol, I loved your story earlier. Thank you so much for sharing with us about your arm and just how the Lord's healed your arm. Isn't that a beautiful story? So Carol's just saying, if you didn't hear that, that as well as God healing a hand, He's doing something inside of her, maybe in your heart. That's often the case, isn't it? Look at the stories of Jesus healing people. It's beautiful He healed people, but usually with that goes something else. There's a deeper work of God going on in our lives. And that's not surprising. Often He heals us because He wants to get our attention, to show us how much He loves us. He wants to do even more profound things in our lives. So again, we can tell those stories and that can affect other people. Our stories, folks, are very, very powerful. And I just want to encourage you to be telling your stories. If you've been here all weekend, you might think I'm like a stuck record here. But I want to keep telling you that. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Is that true? His love goes on and on and on forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord, that's you folks, who those God has saved and forgiven, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. You've got a story to tell. And your story is powerful. You've got a story to tell of when you came to Christ. That's the powerful story. But also of what God's doing in your life right now. And you know, no one can take that away from you. No one can argue about that, saying, well, no, God's not done that, because it's yours. It's not like an intellectual argument for God's existence that you, I don't know if I can argue with that because these people seem quite bright. This is what God's done in my life. Do you know that story in John's Gospel of the blind man who gets healed? And he gets put before the religious authorities to start telling him off and start to go into lots of theology. He says, I don't know. I don't know who this guy is. All I know is once I was blind, now I can see. That's good enough. Look what God's done in my life. Your stories are powerful. It says in Psalm 9, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart, as we've perhaps just been saying some things we're thankful for. I will tell of all your wonders. I will tell of all the great things that you've done. Are you telling your stories? I think for you as a church, your stories are going to be very important for the future life and development and growth of this church. As you tell your stories, and people in your community begin to hear even more, oh, something happens in that church. God's doing stuff. I want a bit of that in my life. Your story is going to be very, very powerful. That's something I think I've been learning. When we get together with our, we've got quite a big staff team at our church. One of my favourite times of the week, probably my most favourite time of the week, is Monday morning. So tomorrow morning we'll get together as a staff. We'll worship the Lord and then we'll tell stories. And we'll just say, what's God been doing this week? And we'll pass the mic round. I tell you, I'm blown away by things that God's been doing. Much of it's got nothing to do with me. God's just doing stuff in people, through people. And there can be big things, there can be little things. Sometimes it can be like someone just trying something for the first time. You know, I prayed for someone for healing for the first time. They didn't actually get healed, but at least I had a go. For some people, that's a massive thing. I had a go. So we celebrate the little things and the big things. And we're telling our stories of what God's doing. We call that testimony, don't we? Testimony builds faith. Now, we've been telling stories at our staff meetings for the last 5 or 6 years. It's now in our culture. And something's happened over that time in the culture. We're now more expectant. So I'm disappointed if I don't hear, you know, each week some stories in our church of somebody getting healed or someone coming to Christ or someone sharing their faith. I'm expectant of that now. I wasn't 5 or 6 years ago, but I am now because it becomes more normal. It's what we do. That takes a bit of time. But I think that's the kind of thing that God wants to do in our lives as we share together the good things that He's doing. So maybe that's one thing I hope you as a church will get a bit more out of this weekend. I know you're doing it a bit already, but I sense God's got more for you. So can I encourage you to be brave and bold and to tell your stories? Just for the benefit of anyone who's here just for the first time this weekend, my name is Matthew, and I'm the vicar of St. Michael of Belfry Church in York. Sometimes we call that St. Mike, sometimes we call it the Belfry. Name doesn't really matter. But we're a church in the centre of York. We're a bit of a gathered church. Our parish is very small. It's a city centre, so it's a few shops. Mainly shops, just a few houses. So people tend to travel in a bit to us. And we feel we've got a big vision God's given us that we feel quite humbled about, which is to play our part in serving God's transformation of the north. We can't do that, but we can play a little part in it, however big or small that is. We want to see God doing stuff in the north of England, because we think God loves all places and all people, but he particularly loves the north. we think. And we think it's on his agenda for our day. And if we can play any part in seeing God do great stuff in the north. Now, you're in the north, and we want to bless what you're doing and what God's doing amongst you here. And it's great to be part of that church. I'm married to Sam. We've been married for nearly 27 years. And we married straight after university. And we have 5 sons. Abdul, who's a refugee, he's joined us as well. It's a very busy household. And I'm looking forward to heading home tonight and finding out what they've been doing this weekend. But it's great to be with you. Now, one of my sons is called Luke. And perhaps go to the next slide. He took this picture that's on the screen here. This is my son, Luke. I think I mentioned him again this morning. He's a graphic designer, really, but also takes photos and that kind of thing. He took this photo about a year or so ago in the Lake District, and he put it on Unsplash. One of two of you might know what Unsplash is. It's one of those online sites where you can put for free your photos, and anyone can upload and download photos. And it's quite a good site. You know, if you want a nice photo to use for something, try Unsplash. And, and you can just put in what kind of thing you want. And he's put quite a lot on Unsplash. And this picture, I don't know what it is about this picture, but it's caught people's imagination. And I'm trying to work out what it is that's caught people's imagination. Because he just texted me earlier to say it's now had 5.7 million hits, this picture. It's been on lots of other websites. So, you know, when Pokemon Go was quite big last year, the main Pokemon Go Reddit site, which is an international site for people into Pokemon Go, used this picture as their header. Bethel Church in Reading in California, they've been using this picture for various things. And unbeknown to each other, they've all just been using this photo. It's got people's attention. I wonder if it's something about the lights on the side and that sense of journey, something about looking at the light. I don't know what it is, adventure maybe, but this picture has caught people's imagination. Now, just to say, the person in the yellow coat is me. It's me. And there is actually a guy next to me that perhaps you can see a bit more clear in the side pictures. That's my friend, Andy. And actually, there was so much interest on the Pokemon Go site that used this thing as their banner. There was a bit of banter on the Pokemon Go site about this yellow coat. Anyone know what this yellow coat is and where it's come from? And someone very carefully from America tracked this coat down and through my son Luke and worked out that it was me and sent me an email to say, "I think you own the yellow coat." My goodness. I said, "I do." They said, "Where do you get it from?" I said, "Well, you can't buy it anymore." I thought, "It's getting quite famous. Shall I put it up for auction? A couple of £1,000, that'll be fine, you know." So this is my famous yellow coat. And it is indeed me. And anyway, it's great to use this picture again this weekend for this Encounter series. That's been our theme this weekend, Encounter. God wants to meet with us, doesn't he? I hope you believe that. And God wants to meet with us all the time. He wants us to know his presence in our lives all the time. The omnipresence of God. God is always present and with us. But there are times when God particularly wants to break in or show himself afresh to us, to remind us that he's there, that he's not forgotten about us, perhaps to empower us, perhaps to heal us, perhaps to speak to us, perhaps to equip us for something. We call that encounter. When we encounter God, it's like heaven and earth come together and break in into our lives. And those times are very exciting. Actually, if you read the Bible's full of people encountering God. Full of stories of encounters. It's very exciting to read of these encounters. We're going to look at one more tonight relating to Jacob. Now, I suspect most of us enjoy a good movie. Is that right? Like a good film? I like films. And I could give you my top 20 films. We'd be here all night if we did that. One of the films I like is, I guess these days, quite an old film. It's the Oscar-winning and much-acclaimed film, Chariots of Fire. But have you seen this film, Chariots of Fire? It's actually been digitally remastered recently. But I want to just, hopefully this will work. I want us just to watch the opening couple of minutes of this film. Because you'll see that this is a film, one of the many films, which begins at the end. You'll get that by watching the first 2 minutes. So let's watch it now, just as we just for a minute or two.
Let us praise famous men and our fathers that begat us. All these men were honored in their generations and were a glory in their days. We are here today to give thanks for the life of Harry Abrahams, to honor the legend.
And like I said, it starts at the end. That's how it starts. It starts in 1978, the funeral service of Harold Abrahams. Before then, looking back on Abraham's life and also the life of Eric Liddell. And Liddell and Abrahams were remarkable men. Actually extraordinary, not just runners, but extraordinary leaders in their day, who through their natural ability of running, but also their perseverance and their strength of character, they achieved great things for themselves and for their nation. And they both won Olympic medals. And this technique of starting at the end is one of many simple but effective ways of telling a story. You start at the end and then you go back and tell the story. Now, if I were to make a movie about the life of Jacob, from Genesis 25 right through to Genesis 50, all those chapters include things about Jacob, I would use this approach of starting at the end and then go back and retell the story. And I start at the end, beginning with this momentous scene at the very end of Jacob's life. So here's the old man Jacob in the court of Pharaoh, before then going back and telling the story of his life. And I think it must have been one of the most extraordinary moments to try to depict. And it'd be wonderful to make a movie about his life. So I'd like us to do that. And we're going to look at this reading that Stuart read for us. And I want you to use your imagination to consider what's happening. I'm going to just retell the story. We can't show it on film, but I'll retell the story a bit for us. If it helps, close your eyes. That may not help you, but if it does, close your eyes. So this is the picture. Are you ready? So Pharaoh is the richest and most powerful man in the whole world. He's ruling the land of Egypt, the strongest and most influential empire on planet Earth. Pharaoh's word is all powerful. Whatever he says is done. His courts would be lavish and splendid. Beautiful buildings, exquisite furnishings, full of gold, riches, and all the fine things of life. And into this court, Pharaoh invites the patriarch, Jacob. Jacob is a humble shepherd, an elderly gentleman with failing eyesight who approaches slowly, leaning on top of his walking stick. Jacob has traveled from Canaan to Egypt, hundreds and hundreds of miles, to be reunited with his long-lost son, Joseph. who, unbeknown to Jacob until recently, has done a remarkable job as Prime Minister of Egypt, managing its economy through a season of prosperity followed by famine. And Jacob is now in the court of Pharaoh, standing before him. Okay, if you've got your eyes closed, you can open them now. Can you picture the scene? It's a remarkable scene, isn't it? This is the story. Jacob before Pharaoh. This fragile old man before the most powerful king in the world. Now, what would you expect to happen in this situation? Of course, some conversation would take place, and that's exactly what we read happened. And then what we would expect to happen is that Pharaoh, the greater one, the strong one, he would say some kind of words or do some kind of act to bless Jacob and send him on his way. That's what we'd expect to happen. That's the usual format. The strong blesses the weak. But what happens is exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. If you've got the Bible in front of you, have a look at chapter 47, verse 7. We read that Jacob blesses Pharaoh. That's interesting. Jacob blesses Pharaoh. The seemingly weak blesses the strong. Isn't that interesting? And not just once, look at verse 10. It looks like he does it twice. What's going on? I think what's going on, well, you could call it lots of things. I call it leadership. Leadership. Jacob's life has not been perfect. In fact, far from it. Jacob has made many, many mistakes in his life. He's cheated his brother when he was young. He's mismanaged his family. He's also experienced much tragedy in his life. He had to flee from his family home in his late teens and early 20s. If you were here yesterday, this morning, we looked at that. After his marriage, he was financially exploited by his father-in-law for many, many years, unfairly treated. Later, one of his daughters was raped. Then his much-loved wife, Rachel, died in childbirth. This man's experienced lots of tragedy in his life. Maybe some of you have been through tragedy in your life and thinking, I know what that feels like. Jacob knows what that feels like. And through these circumstances, if we're honest, he's not always done things very well. He's certainly not always led well. He's often been hounded by fear. The word fear appears many times in the story of Jacob. And yet here, at the very end of his life, at the end of a complex life, Jacob seems to exercise a kind of very courageous leadership. In the presence of greatness, when he should really be cowering, it's like he's, as best he can, leaning on his walking stick. It's like he's using all his courage and leadership, and he blesses Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. He speaks words of affirmation and encouragement and blessing and favor on Pharaoh. Don't know who the equivalent these days would be. Donald Trump, maybe, I don't know. Somebody, you know, very powerful and strong. Now, why does Jacob do this? Why does he want to bless Pharaoh? Well, partly he does it as an act of thanks. He's grateful. Pharaoh has been good to his son, Joseph. He made his son prime minister. Pharaoh has been generous to the rest of his family, as we heard in the reading, by giving them good land in the land of Goshen for them to settle with their cattle and sheep. Clearly, he wants to thank him. But there's much more than that going on here. Jacob, it looks like he knows he's called by God to do this. And despite getting many things wrong in his life, maybe a bit like you and me, maybe you look at your life and think, I've not always got it right, I've done many things wrong. Despite that, he has encountered God's presence on quite a few occasions. And out of that, he has changed. He's changed. And out of that experience, he blesses Pharaoh. Now, if we had time, which we haven't got time, we could look at the seven encounters that Jacob has with the Lord. But let me just summarize them very briefly before you, because you see, every time he encounters the Lord, he discovers something fresh about the Lord and then something fresh about himself. So in the first encounter we looked at briefly this morning, he discovers something wonderful about the presence of God. The second one, he discovers something about the mission of God. The third one, about the protection of God. The fourth one, about the face of God. The fifth one, about the fear of God. The sixth one, about God's reassurance, the reassurance of God. And the seventh one, about the promises of God. And through these experiences of encountering God and the character of God, so he is changed. You know, maybe, Carol, it's been like what you were talking about earlier, that when you encounter God, he does something inside of you. It changes us. And Jacob knew something of that. He's discovered that God is good. That God's plans are good for him and his family. And that through him, God wants to bless others. To bless others, to bless many. And it's like his job and that of his family is to step up and walk in the goodness of God that they've discovered as they've encountered him and then kind of give it away. Blessing others. And so by blessing Pharaoh, it's like he's conferring something of God's goodness and love upon him that he's discovered. He's giving it away. Now, does Pharaoh need this? Does he need this? I think on the surface the answer might be, well, no, not really. I mean, he's the most powerful person in the world. Why does he need this? But, you know, maybe he does. You know, you can be the most powerful person in the whole world but have great need. I bet it's lonely being the most powerful person in the world. I suspect Pharaoh had still great need for purpose, for friendship, maybe for joy, maybe to have his soul satisfied. Pharaoh probably had lots and lots of needs. So here's a frail old man, a nobody in the world's eyes, impacting the most powerful man in the world. Here's the weak choosing to bless the strong. And why is that? Because now at the end of his life, Jacob has realized he has so much to give away. That he does have God's blessing, he can give it away. That his words are powerful and they can make a difference. That it's not too late to impact others. That he has the capacity to bless, even at the ripe old age of 130. And so he does. I think that here at the end of his life, Jacob has become a courageous leader. The leader, in fact, he was always called to be. It's just taking him a while to realize it. Now, why am I sharing this word with you tonight? Because this isn't the word, actually, I originally prepared to bring to you tonight. But it's one I feel impressed to bring as I've been with you this weekend. I think the answer is this. I think this story tells us it's not too late for any of us to step up and to make a difference. It's not too late for any of us to step up and lead and make a difference. You know, whatever happened in your past, you've not missed it. You're not too old. Also, you're not too young. We can all make a difference. Now is the time to make a difference. Now is the time to use your words and use them well and use your life to shape the destiny of other people. You can do that. We can do that. We can even impact people of influence who seem more powerful than us. Because that's what Jacob was doing. Like Jacob, we have the capacity to bless, to step up and lead, and it's not too late. And I suspect that some of us really need to hear that tonight. And I think for you as a church, St. Barnabas Church, you are called to step up and lead in your town. This town has been blessed over the years by you, but I think there's more and more to come through you. I think God has even more change to bring to this town, positive change, renewal and impact and transformation through you. You people, through the church, through you. You have the capacity to bring culture change to this town through your evangelism. That's telling people about Jesus, how amazing Jesus is. Never underestimate how important that is. As one life after another, after another, after another is changed, the people come to Christ. Your evangelism is very powerful, and you can do that because you have a story to tell. And through your care for the poor and the disadvantaged and the vulnerable, you can make a massive difference in this town, even more than you're doing now. Through your volunteering in various local organizations and causes, you can make a difference. Through your positive attitude to life, when many around you are feeling low and down in the dumps, but you know you've got a Lord and Savior you're serving, and that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can be affirming and positive, even when things around you look difficult. You can do that in your schools and in the council and in civic life. Through your businesses prospering and through your good, honest, hard work, giving your best in your workplaces, through your prayers and your blessing and your encouragement, through your neighborliness, being kind to those on your street, through your service and love to others. It's not too late. You can. God wants to impact this town through you. Through you. And you might feel weak, small, old, whatever the excuse is, a bit like Jacob. And you might think your town is a bit like Pharaoh. Well, they don't need me. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. This town needs this church. This town needs the kingdom of God to break in. And in the kingdom of God, the weak can bless the strong. In the kingdom of God, the Lord turns things on its head. And you can be much more powerful and impactful than you realize. So this is, a very simple message for you guys tonight. I want to say, St. Barnabas Church, step up and lead and make a difference. And be like Jacob and realize your true calling in the Lord. It's not too late. Realize your mission. Go. Maybe one or two of us are thinking, really? Me? Us? Who are we? Who am I? I'm nobody, me. I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, all the best leaders think that. All the best leaders, all those who go on to be the best leaders, think that. Let me read to you of a great leader in the Bible. His name is Gideon. See if I can find him. Judges chapter 6. God calls Gideon to step up and lead. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon said. But how can I do that? How can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest, and I'm the least. Isn't that how we feel sometimes when God says, come on, have you got the right person? God says, I will be with you. And he goes on eventually to be a great leader. But he thought, who am I? I can't do that. Let me tell you about another person who felt just the same. His name was Moses. He was a great leader. Not at first. God calls Moses at the burning bush. You know the story? At the burning bush, God calls him to go and make a difference. Moses says, Exodus 3:11, but God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He's getting nervous. He's feeling fearful. Who am I? And God says, I will be with you. Recognize those words? Same words as said to Gideon. You see, it's the presence of God that makes a difference. It's the presence of God that is the promise that we can hold on to go and make a difference. We could go through leader after leader in the Bible who felt inadequate for the task. That's good. If we felt we could do it with the wrong people, we'd be too cocky. Because if we feel weak, in one sense that's good, because it's the power of God, the presence of God, that then strengthens us so we can do it. And when we do it, we know we don't do it in our strength, but in God's strength. You see, we can make a difference. Not because of who we are in ourselves, but because of God's presence in us and who he has made us to be. And because we live this side of the cross, we can be even more strong and courageous leaders than people like Moses and Gideon. Because Jesus Christ has won the victory on the cross through his death and resurrection. Because of those things, we are utterly forgiven. We have full access to all the resources of heaven. We have God's Spirit to empower us. We are God's beloved children. That's who we are. That's who you are. You can be much more impactful than you think. Here's the promise of Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will go out and be my witnesses. It's God's presence and God's power in us that causes us to go and be able to do these things. So it's good to think first, well, who am I? I can't really do that. No, but with God's strength and God's presence and God's power, we can. You can. You can. You can. Tell the person next to you, you can. You can. It's true. One more thing, because I like us to pray. I think there's something else that sometimes stops us kind of stepping out and being courageous and doing some of this stuff. And it's the same thing that really hounded Jacob for most of his life, and it's fear. Interestingly, one or two of the songs that we sung earlier, we sung about fear. How God wants to take away our fear. You know, there's much fear in the world. Much fear. Fear is one of the main tactics of the enemy to kind of close us down. Fear kind of constrains us, closes us down. It's a very clever tactic of the enemy. And when we feel God often sending us to do things, fear can stir up inside of us. Fear of what people will think, you know, fear of not being good enough, not having the gifts, not having the abilities, looking foolish. I wonder whether God wants to speak into a bit of fear in our lives tonight and just to expose it for what it is. And it's just a tactic of the enemy. He loves to replace fear with love and with courage. And with courage. So why don't we stand? I'd like to pray for us. Should we stand? We're going to go back into worship in a few moments, but I'd like to pray just for a few minutes first. The Lord is here. He's amongst us already. We've welcomed his presence, but let's just do that again, consciously. Thank you, Jesus, that you are for us and not against us. And again, send your spirit afresh amongst us now as we stand in your presence. Come, Lord, and fill this place with your love. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. You don't have to do this, but sometimes if you'd like to receive afresh from the Lord, it's helpful to perhaps symbolize that in a sign. Sometimes perhaps having your hands out in front of you is one way of doing that. You don't have to do that, but you might like to do that. Lord, we pray you come and fill us. Come and touch us as we seek you. May we find you, we pray. Come, Lord. Pour out your love afresh upon us, we pray. And Lord, as you do that, I pray you would expose any lies of the enemy that we believed about ourselves. Some of us have heard words that we're rubbish and no good for anything, that we're losers. And Jesus, you have something so different to say to us, that we're God's chosen, that we're your beloved, that we're called, that we're forgiven, that we're empowered. Lord, expose the lies of the enemy, we pray. Maybe as I say those words, maybe one or two of us, we're just recognizing lies of the enemy that we believed about ourselves that we know are not true. Why don't you just renounce those lies now? Just see them for what they are. Just quietly just rebuke those things. Lord, we rebuke those things in Jesus' name. They're not true. Thank you, Jesus, that you are for us. And speak words of life and love and hope over us. And Lord, as we stand in your presence too, I speak against fear in Jesus' name. Lord, in a good way, expose our fears that we may give them to you. And instead fill us with your strong spirit. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of self-discipline. Lord, fill us with that spirit, we pray, and give us courage to lead and make a difference in this town, we pray. Fill us with your courageous spirit, we pray. Maybe as I was speaking, maybe as We've been praying about making a difference in this community, maybe a particular place or person has come to mind for you where you think, actually, maybe I could make a difference there. Maybe there's something I need to be doing in that situation, in that context. If that's true, why don't you just quietly tell the Lord about that and ask the Lord to empower you to be God's ambassador in that place. Just ask him now to fill you and use you in that place. I suspect that's true of quite a number of us. It could be a workplace. It could be a school. It could be in a community centre. It could be on your street. But you know where these places are. Ask the Lord now to help you and strengthen you. And Lord, I pray for this church, that you continue to open doors of opportunity, not just individually, but as a church, to make a difference in various spheres of influence in this town. Lord, make it clear where those things should be. And together, Lord, may they see the kingdom come and lives change, we pray. Thank you for the call to leadership upon this church. May it be realized in this day, we pray.